We are going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age." What an amazing moment that Jesus had with his disciples after his resurrection. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him to say this to us and to ask us to do something. What an amazing thing that he was able to do, to come alive again from the dead and to completely wipe away all of the sin that we carry around with us, and to take that as far as the east is from the west. What an incredible thing. And the authority that he has and then has placed on us to do. Isn't that amazing? Just incredible. Do we believe it? There's going to be lots of questions here today, and then none of them are, what's the word when you...
Rhetorical.
They aren't rhetorical. It was not a rhetorical question.
So you
want
to know?
Yes.
Yes.
Julie believes it. That's good. So, good. Well, we'll move on with Julie then. It would appear that many people don't believe that who turn up to church. Paul, if we can just have a look at this. This is another bit of data. And so 1980 was, I remember being at church in 1980. And I remember as part of the youth, it was absolutely rammed. There were loads and loads of kids. We had a fantastic time, and we really enjoyed all the things that I was doing in Sevenoaks, where I was brought up. It was brilliant. I was not like Immy, dear, who comes to church on her own. That was not how it was. It was nothing like that. We had an absolute ball. It was really, really good fun in 1980. Come to 2015, and so you can we're seeing what's going on here. So we've got the Anglican Church, of which I was a part then, and we had 1.3 million people attending church every Sunday in 1980. 3 years ago, it's just about half of that, less than half of that. With the Catholic Church, it's, Paul and I were looking at this earlier, so that is about two million people in the UK. Sorry, is this England? This is just England. It's just England. And that's cut by down to 600,000. Methodists have been chopped by a third. The Baptists, where we, so we've gone down, and we know that ourselves. We've just come to our church 25 years ago or so at City Road. It was heaving, which is why we're here. The reason we exist as a church is because City Road was getting too big. and there wasn't enough space. So we, and mission, but primarily the first, I don't know, it made sense that we needed to start something because something was going on. And the leadership thought mission was the thing we should be doing, and indeed it is and was. And City Road doesn't have an evening service anymore. We've dwindled. We look at ourselves and we had loads of kids. Now, there are lots of reasons for lots of this. And the only ones that have gone up are the Pentecostals, the new churches, and the Orthodox. I love Orthodox churches. They're great. You just go and hide in the back of them somewhere and smell. A completely different experience to what we have here, and the holiness, the sense of holiness, but it's not all like that. Sometimes there is a feeling of, well, the priest is up there and he's doing all this stuff and we could just be anybody really. So there's lots of, and society's changed, there's a lot more movement, the digital things we were talking about earlier, there's lots of reasons why this looks like it does. But I want to put to you a thought that actually the Western Church has not really understood what it is to be a disciple. So this bit of scripture, which is Jesus' great commission, which we're called to step up to and follow, is not something we have the foggiest idea or understanding of what really, really means. So how can we be out there asking people to consider being disciples when we ourselves aren't really disciples? What does it mean to be a disciple? Do you consider yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Good. Yeah.
Quite challenging questions.
Mm. So that's two people. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? A disciple is someone who is a follower or a pupil of a teacher or a leader or a philosopher. Someone who actually listens to what the teacher does and then follows through on what they've learnt. And I would contend in much of the Western Church we have Christianese. We sit back and enjoy sermons, coming to church, the community of what the church gives us, a sense of belonging, a sense of community, all of that nice cozy stuff, but the relevance of actually following what Jesus asks us to do day to day is something that isn't in our common understanding. Now, please disagree with me. That's another question. Do you disagree with me?
I think quite often we're sponges rather than active people within churches. We receive a lot, but sometimes it kind of oozes out by accident rather than actively going and choose to go forward.
Yes, so we just allow church to happen to us, we allow God to happen to us, but there's no get up and go with it. God provides so much to us and so many resources and so many good things, so much good teaching, and you can listen to stuff online. The amount of stuff we have as Christian consumers is vast. I've got the Bible on my phone, I've got a Bible I listen to on my phone, and that's not because I need to, personally I do, but it's all there, everything, it's all there. You can listen to some lovely music, you can fill your house with God's praises and you sing to your heart's content, but we just absorb and it fills us up, but there's no outflow. And when there's outflow, things can begin to happen. Now, I may be being harsh here, but I just wonder, okay, so let's see what happens. Have we experienced God's discipling power this week? Has he taught us anything? Have we learned anything from him? Have we followed through on what he's taught us? And what might those things be? There's a microphone here. You're very welcome to come and use it. Avril.
Well, as many of you know, I support the Barnabas Fund, which is working in the very worst places in the earth. And the good news is that I've also had a book written by an ex-Muslim about the situation in Syria, where he was born a Muslim. And it's very difficult once you're born a Muslim to become a Christian or to reject the faith, that faith. And by dint of talking to friends, he has been brought into the Christian faith and has seen God's work in these terrible conditions, keeping him and his family safe and spreading the word. So in some ways there is more activity of the Holy Spirit used in situations where there is almost hell on earth for people. He's still with us. What can we do? We can support the people who go out. we can support them in money, in prayer, and in telling others what is happening. Question.
My question was actually to anyone here as to whether they have seen in themselves God speak to them this week and then them act in a way that what they've heard actually made a difference, and then seen the power of that happen. You see, what we're looking at here is that Jesus is standing with his disciples and he is teaching them the fact of his power that has brought him back to new life. This is an incredible thing. And it's not something we watch on television or read about in a book. This is him standing here now, explaining to us quite how much power that really is. It's not a thing that normally happens. It's outside the human experience to see someone come back to life and to wipe away the penalty of sin in the world. That's an amazing thing. And then he says, right, well, that's how it is with me. You have the power to go out and explain this to the people around you. Now, these guys, at what point did they become disciples? So there was Matthew and there's Thomas and there's James. When did they become disciples? Immediately. As soon as Jesus said to them, come over here and follow me. They had absolutely how much experience? None. They didn't know a thing. They didn't have the foggiest idea of where this was going. But what was important was that they'd heard Jesus and they'd seen that this man was taking them somewhere and wanted to follow him. And that meant changing their complete whole life. So Peter was I don't want you to fish for fish anymore, I want you to fish for men. And he said, right, just leaves it all behind. Walks away from his former life. He was someone who was who understood his own moral state and said, no, you can't come anywhere near me, Lord. I can't. And Jesus, you come with me and follow me, because you will be. And so he lifted people up. Jesus lifted them up and said, yes, you can do it. And this is what he's doing with us now. You see, we've got a church in England which is dwindling hugely. And I know that Les has said to me on several occasions, we need young people. You must get young people in, Jonathan. And I'm kind of stood there thinking, well, I do what I can. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer, other than to be a disciple of Jesus. So every day I spend my time thinking about what does that actually mean for today. And I go around and I work here, and we all do different things, and to see the kingdom of God come in our lives and to live close to him, so that when we are near people and make relationships with people, that oozes out some way or other. And it often does. I mean, just this week, was it this week, Lisa and, or was it last week? Lisa and me and Rowan were sat in the office just here. Huge long conversation with Pete about what church is and many of these problems. How does he, you know, with the three of Pete and Lisa and I, all of a similar age, are saying, so Rowan, what's church really all about? What does that mean to you? You know, and Pete's asking as much as us two were asking. And how do you see it? And what does faith mean for you? And some really tough old questions that the older ones of us were asking of this young man. It's brilliant. All there. All ready. And sorry, this is all going all over the place really. But Jesus also says, this is actually following some kind of order on this, so that's good. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me. That's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because for one thing, one needs to get close to that who's actually saying what. So he needs to get near the Father. So early in the morning he'd be seen, it's breakfast time, and all the disciples are saying, where's Jesus gone? He's already left. And he's up the mountainside having a prayer with the Father. And he was up there very early in the morning. And every this happened frequently, and you can read that he'd gone missing, because he was spending time with the Father. Unless we spend time in prayer and getting to know closely what God is saying to us, and listening to the Holy Spirit and being familiar with the language and the words and the sense of the Holy Spirit in us, unless we have that, we don't know what God is saying, and we're just ambling around. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. So he's got this vision of the people who need to know about Jesus. He's got these guys who are around him, who are his disciples, and he's got this thought, I need you four, you fellows, to get out there because the fields are white. Now, a little while later, there were 72, so there were 12, and then there were 72, a much bigger group, and he sends them all off. Go off and go and tell people about what's coming and who I am and what God is, and heal people and bring them new life. Lots of really good stuff. And he taught them. They were their wider disciple group. And they go off and they come back and they say, this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And they were so pleased. And he listens to their stories, but he also says, don't get carried away with that, but make sure you do the early morning stuff like I do and go and do your prayer with the Father and know what the Spirit is saying to you to do. It's that relationship. And it comes back to this, one thing for us that we can learn out of this is relationship. He had a very, very strong relationship with the Father. He absolutely knew what the Father was and the Spirit was saying in his heart. Absolutely, completely. Tight as tight can be. Amazing relationship. And he wants us to have relationships with people around us and to make those relationships and to work at those relationships and to love the people around us, not because we want to tick a box with them and get them to come to church. That's not what any of this is about, because it's not, coming to church isn't discipleship. That's not where discipleship happens. Discipleship happens whilst doing. It's out there. It's all out there. You know, he gathered the disciples together to teach them, but the doing of the discipling was all out there with the people, making relationships. Now, this amazing thing happened on Friday here. I was sat here, Mark was sat there, Julie was kind of wandering around, and we were thinking, this is 2 o'clock in the, on Friday afternoon, and we were thinking, well, that's it then, isn't it? And then four people came in. One of them was a church member, and she brought a friend. It's fantastic, really, really, really good. And we had it was a lovely little service. And there's a tiny kernel of a community of people who may be interested in following Jesus. A tiny, tiny kernel. And God wants to bless that and look after it. But what would really, really be amazing, what personally I would love to see, is for those 4 weeks in a row that somebody from the fellowship would actually turn up every one of the 4 weeks. So we'd begin to turn up to the friendship club and make those relationships a little bit stronger. That means going out of the church. It'd be better if you didn't come here on a Sunday, but you came to Friendship Club next Friday. It would be better if you did that than to come to church, because then you would be actually enacting your discipleship, if that's the area that you feel that you could be called to do. That's not a question. Because it comes down to this thing called love. And whilst I've been quite tough in a sense, I suppose, that's just what I felt should be said today, really. Love is, whilst it's straightforward, it is also caring and gracious and a blessing. And to show our community that we really do love, we need to show our face to it and to be open to it and to turn up at it and with it in whatever shape or form that is. And this is where Jesus talks about his teaching. So there's lots and lots of things that he teaches, and that's part of our discipleship, is to learn what he teaches us and to then enact what he teaches us. But it's also in that teaching, we actually, when we enact that teaching, the community and society around us actually changes to be more like Jesus. And we've seen this. Lisa and David and Julie and Mark and myself and certain others who've been involved with from the church with the community centre, we've seen a change happen gradually and slowly over time. And perhaps actually going back even further, we've seen a change in the way things are done with people and how they react and how they've allowed themselves to be loved. And that's been a hard journey, and it continues to be a hard journey. But it is something where we have found our discipleship really finding the gristle of what it means to have faith. And then we see God at work in other people's lives. Now, my most favourite pastime, actually, and I don't see it very often, I want to see more of it, is to see God at work in people's lives. So we need to be praying for that and expecting God to work, but we need to follow him as disciples. They're not easy Christians that do. Yes.
Can I just share an encouragement? I'm going to the mic.
When you ask that question, Jonathan, at the start, it's quite a hard one. How have we been disciples this week? And I was thinking, what have I been doing this week? I can't even think what I've been doing from day to day. but what's been going through my mind, actually, as you've been preaching, is one of the things I did do this week with Mark is John and Margaret went on holiday, their well-end holiday. Now they've got their caravan back. And we went to water the plants down at Hairstock, you know, where the shops are and the gardens. And you're probably aware that John and Margaret and some others with Mark for years and years and years have been doing that gardening, and they do it quietly, they do it humbly. It comes up on the rotas every Sunday, or, you know, gardening's next Sunday, and it's the same little group of people who go. And I don't know if you go down there and you see them, but I really noticed when I actually go and water them, they're stunning. They are really amazing flowers. And I just kept thinking all through just about the fragrance of Jesus, that there's something really, if you stop and look at those flowers, there's a lovely sign. I think it says, is it made for your enjoyment? For your enjoyment by North Winchester Community Church. And there were so many people here who for years have been sowing into the community, a matinee film club, songs of praise, the cinema club. There's so much, and people like Avril talks about the Barnabas Funds faithfully serving, and there is a fragrance, but sometimes you don't, I don't know, I'm not a gardener, there's other people that can articulate it better than I can, but there's a fragrance of Jesus that we all bring, but actually if we don't nurture it and we don't water it, and we don't, as you're saying, pray and stay close to Jesus, then that dies. We have to keep it alive. And I just sense that there's a fragrance in each of us and all the things that we do, but we just need to be encouraged. And I would say that particularly to the old folk in this congregation who have been here for years, just keep going and keep praying. Even if you can't do the serving, keep praying for those that can do the doing, because we really need that prayer as well.
Thank you. Yep.
If I can just add, thank you, Lisa. Those are wonderful, nice words. Can I just say that, you know, things change, don't they, as we grow older? And, you know, there was a time when you used to go out to work and we met lots of people and we were able to, you know, relate to many people. And, of course, as you get old and you retire, it's different. Often we don't go out, we don't see too many people. But I always think in the terms that, you know, each of us have been placed by God in a particular situation. We need to respond to the changes of that life brings along. You know, we don't see too many people these days, of course, although we obviously go out. But we had new neighbours move in back in February, opposite. But he is really quite ill, almost got some degenerative disease, you know, and he can hardly walk using a walking frame. But he came outside, and I happened to spot him today. I'd not really chatted to him, and it was really good to see him outside, and I was outside just packing away things, and we had a really good chat with him. And, you know, it underlined to me that God's put each of us in a particular place, and for many of us, we don't see so many people these days, but the ones that we do see, he's called us to be in that particular place at that particular time, and, you know, we should... A, of course, try and get closer to God. This is what Jonathan was saying earlier on. We might have our quiet times and the rest of it, but you know, sometimes we think, yeah, should I be doing more? Should I be having more time? Should I be doing other things? But the other thing is that having, should we say, being prepared by God, then we should be always prepared wherever we are, those that go to work, those that don't, wherever we are at all times, to be, should we say, ambassadors for him. That to respond, to seek to pass on some of the love that God has made known to us. You know, so wherever we are, whatever we're doing, I think we still have a place in God's plan. And yeah, thank you for this morning, John.
Anyone else? It's not that we need to stress about this either, because that's not what God is asking us to do, and I think that's helpful what you've both said. But having that ear to the Holy Spirit, you find that you're actually just in his flow, and somebody at the bus stop that you then actually step up and speak to about the weather or the day or whatever it is just leads on to further conversations. And someone else then on the bus coming back the other way. All just the... and so often I see people walking along and they've got their heads down, and if they're younger they've got things in their ears or in front of them. In fact, they're so low down sometimes they don't even see you until you're right near them. And I've started to say hello to everybody I walk past, whether they're looking or not. Oh, somebody said something. So there we are, let's pray. Lord, we do want to be your disciples, and we are aware of where the wider church is, and to some extent ourselves, in that discipleship path. We can see that things are missing, and the church has declined. But we do want to see your kingdom come. We really do. To see your ways known upon the earth. Our world needs it so much to understand your truths, to understand your love, to understand the power of your Spirit at work to bring healing and new life. Help us, Lord, to be a disciple today. Help us to have your Holy Spirit in us, and call us in those moments where we need to show some discipline to follow you and to be your friend. You want us to be your friends, and you call us your friends, and you love us, Lord. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.